Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, you often hear me say that the data of the transaction is becoming almost as important as the payment itself. And I believe that you're going to be hearing me say that even more as we enter into 2021. So today, I want to dive into some examples of why data is becoming so important and what it can mean to organizations looking to add value to their partners and clients. So to flesh out some of these examples, I have Anthony Mavromatis, who is the VP of Customer Marketing Analytics and Data Science at American Express. So there's certainly a lot of interesting insights to take away on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Anthony, it's an absolute pleasure having you on today's episode where we're really going to be kind of taking a look at utilizing data to really kind of enhance that customer experience. So I think it's really kind of important to get right off the bat here of perhaps you could kind of give us a little bit of an overview of what American Express is doing in the marketplace when it comes to data and personalizing the customer experience.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Ryan. I think that So using data for American Express is certainly not something new. We've been leveraging our data for some time, but obviously the last couple of years have seen an acceleration in not just within American Express, but more broadly ability to harness the power of and the breadth and depth of data available to us. And combined with technology, ability to store, evolution in AI and ML, that's really raised the game in terms of what can and cannot be done. And my focus specifically is on the customer and translating and leveraging these technologies to power a more personalized experience across all the digital channels that are fast becoming the dominant way that that customers interact.
Yeah, so let's go into that just a little bit. Like, I mean, could you give us kind of a couple of examples that American Express maybe has kind of put into the marketplace recently that you could kind of point to that says like, hey, we were able to enable this enhancement for the customer's benefit because of the data that we were able to leverage?
Yeah, there's a lot of great examples out there. I think at the core of the what we've put into place from a capability perspective is our Orchestra solution, which powers all the channel experiences. And as an example, one of the programs that I think is a real differentiator, is thanks to the closed loop that American Express has of the Amex offers ecosystem. So working closely with our partners and merchants, large and small, we're able to deliver a whole host of offers and benefits to our customers. And that's a great example of where the challenge is to get potentially a couple of thousand, sift through a couple of thousand different merchant offers and get them to the right customer at the right time, at the right place. And this is a great use case for what we just talked about, which is the harnessing of data and technologies in a way that augments the customer experience. And in this particular example, we've had a lot of success. It's actually a great use case for machine learning and for personalization to create that personalized experience so that what the customer sees resonates, and more importantly, we continue to learn rapidly and evolve our understanding of the customer's needs. And it's really, converting what it could be a very complex ecosystem into something that adds value to our customers' lives and brings the merchant closer to our customer, the right merchants closer to the customer. And we would not be able to do that without some of the technologies and the orchestration layer that we've developed, which I can talk a bit more about. Ryan, tell me.
Yeah. I mean, certainly let's get into that. But first, I kind of want to put just a little bit of a pin in that, because there was a couple of things that I think that you brought up that I certainly think are worth restate or just reiterating here, if we could. One, that you pointed out in terms of just from the merchant side of things, having that data and being able to put the correct offer in front of the correct consumer is certainly a huge benefit for marketing-minded folks, right? Because I mean, I certainly think one of the things that marketers talk about quite frequently is just kind of media waste. Is that, hey, you know, we don't want to have or have a campaign that's essentially kind of going out to everybody, and we spent all this energy and all these resources going out to people when the end person that receives that offer, you know full well that, hey, they're not going to put any time into that offer. It's an instant rejection from that. So instead, it's better to have the data to say, let's make sure that that personalized offer is reaching the right consumer at the right time. And to the point that you pointed out, it's really because of the advancements in AI and ML that have really kind of made that possible for that. So perhaps maybe we could kind of dovetail, you know, use that and then kind of talk about some of the points that you were making prior there.
Sure, I think you're spot on, and it's a combination of rising customer expectations, but also you know, being able to meet those expectations. And you know, we talked about Amex offers, but that's just, you know, one part of it. What really brings, you know, the value, but also some of the complexity with it is, you know, we have to do this across multiple channels, and it's not just, okay, which offers are the most relevant in this particular example, but it's also the timing. It's also the channel. And in some channels, we don't know when the customer is going to, you know, come in. And so that's a great example of leveraging data, leveraging the right frameworks and technologies to deliver that experience. But the Amex offer ecosystem doesn't operate in isolation. And part of what we've been working on really hard is coming back to, you know, from the customer experience, there's a multitude of things that we want to engage them with, and what are the principles that we want to do. So in designing that experience, we've always anchored ourselves on the principles of the company, which is, okay, the customer's coming in, but how do we make sure that we you know, bring to life the brand of having their backs, servicing them in a premium manner, in a way that's really quick. So that is first and foremost. And then how do we add value to their everyday life? And Amex Offers is just one of those examples. And so part of what we're doing with this orchestration solution that we have is trying to strike the right balance at the right time within a channel of what is it that the customer's need is and intent is, and what would add the most value at that particular moment in time. And being able to do that ideally on a real-time basis, because you have information from a historical perspective, which might give you some inclinations, but then a customer's interacting with you, and so you're starting to learn a lot and want to adapt rapidly into that. And so that's the place that we are at right now.
Yeah, so Anthony, I think that that's all real interesting. And I think a part of kind of what you're also alluding to is kind of the breaking down of those data silos, right? It's something that we often talk about within the banking and payments industries, especially when you kind of talk about just legacy systems themselves. And really, it's kind of the payments industry as a whole really kind of saying the importance of data. You know, one of the things that I like to say a lot here on the episode is that the payments industry is certainly getting to that point where they go that the data is just almost as important as the payment itself. And so being able to then share that data across these various different groups certainly enables a lot of companies to be able to get further insights or be able to enhance the experience in other departments. You know, certainly we're kind of talking about some of the marketing aspects, but then also those marketing aspects or that marketing data can then also be translated into the consumer experience side of things or the customer relation side of things to be able to enhance that experience that a consumer may have in terms of just, hey, you know, I did get this marketing offer, I call, and then, oh, we've got data. We can see the full customer journey, if you will, from that point. So you kind of really add the additional value value and enhance that experience. So I'm kind of curious from that perspective then, if we're really kind of discussing breaking down those data silos beyond kind of the marketing and then the customer relation side of things, how else is it that American Express is really kind of breaking down those data silos to really add value to the end customer?
That's a great question, Ryan. And I think that like many other large financial institutions and beyond financial institutions with, a history of being in business for many, many years, in the case of American Express, 160 plus years, it's inevitable that as an example, the channels evolved, right? Let's go back 15, 20, 30 years. We started with direct mail communications, and there was email. Then all of a sudden there was this thing called the web, and there's the app, and now there's notifications. And it's inevitable that it'll be common for folks to run into situations where you have things that were built maybe more like a cake, right? Just kind of start layering things on. And when you're trying to take a step back and say, well, but what are my, what is my desired outcome? What are the first principles that support, and in the case of American Express, its brand promise, and how are you going to be able to deliver that? How do you deliver that, differentiate? How do you show customers you have your back? How do you delight them? How do you add value to their everyday experience? Well, guess what? It's not, if one channel is not talking to the other channel, you don't know what happened in email that just, even though the customers just showed up on web, that becomes an obstacle. And a lot of what we spend actually, and it's not glorious work, right? Often people ask me more about, well, what machine learning are you using? What AI are you using? And I tell people that's important and that's part of my job. But a lot of the work, and in the case of Orchestra as an example, was just building that infrastructure that is mimicking more of the customer experience, which is breaking down those data silos that you described, making it holistic from a customer perspective, which is I don't care which channel you're talking about. I know I have, at the particular time that I'm making a decision when I'm interacting with a customer, I have awareness, just like the customer does, of what just happened, what happened recently, irrespective of the channel. So we're lucky to have a tremendous engineering set of partners that the better part, I think, of the last 2 years has been spent on just developing that. But I think equally important in that process is making sure you don't lose sight of what the ultimate experience and first principles of that experience are. I talked about the brand, and it's often easy to get seduced by the technology and say, well, we could do this, we can do that, and that's where I've seen other companies often lose sight of what is it that you ultimately want to measure yourself against, and make sure that at every decision point, you're keeping the same set of principles first. How do you resolve, in our case, if there is a customer that has a servicing need, how do you resolve that? How do you resolve that quickly? How do you resolve that maybe even in an anticipatory manner? And how do you deliver from there, build on that, to build that relationship, to deliver value that's very, very relevant for that particular, for that customer in that instance. So there's a lot of, I would say 80, 90% of the effort and the keys to success are what you describe, breaking down those data silos. And in many ways, the AI part is relatively the more straightforward piece of something that will keep evolving, provided you're still focusing on the same core design principles as you go through and evolve the infrastructure to deliver the right experiences.
Yeah, and I certainly think that all that there makes an absolute ton of sense. But I kind of want to change gears just a little bit here, because obviously, it is certainly fine to say, hey, as a company, we're going to collect this data and we're going to use it in a positive manner. But there certainly are policies that are out there, such as GDPR and the right to be forgotten, that essentially allow a customer to say, hey, you know what, company, I no longer want you to have all of this data on me. So I'm curious to get from American Express's side of things, of what it is that your organization is doing in particular to ensure that those particular customers that no longer wish to have their data collected essentially have been removed from the system.
So I would say that that's a, you know, obviously from a regulatory perspective, we aim to meet the requirements. I mean, that goes without saying. And as you pointed out, the requirements from a regulatory perspective are evolving as well. But that to me is only the bare minimum. So we will make sure that we meet the ability to forget and as an example. But, you know, I think that, and my observation, having worked at American Express for 16 years now, is that, you know, part of the expectation for our customers when they do business with American Express is there's an expectation that is, frankly, much higher than even some of the regulatory one in terms of, you know, how we use their data and, you know, protecting their privacy and using it in a responsible manner. And so, and I see that, I know there's, you know, a lot of what we communicate publicly in terms of what we will and will not use and how we use it. But, you know, to give you the inside kind of day-to-day piece, there isn't one decision where we're not stress testing that against, you know, the what is the customer expectation? Are we meeting that? And are we reinforcing the brand? Are we doing something that's going to elevate the perceptions of customers in terms of the how we're going to use their data responsibly and obviously protect their privacy? So I think that's the perceptions that people have and customers, both customers and prospects have about American Express are quite justified from that perspective, and we aim to meet those every day. So for me, the regulatory was just, you know, absolutely, you know, like that's something that we will be we continue to make sure that we, and by the way, in some cases these are not insignificant asks, and we, you know, we like other companies will ensure that we meet them, but to me the bar is set internally is actually much higher on an ongoing basis.
No, and I think that's great, because it really kind of shows this is what the brand really is all about. In terms of just, because I mean, when you look at it and you especially look in the financial industry as a whole, I mean, it really kind of does boil down to trust. And if you're kind of just saying as an organization of, yeah, well, we meet the minimum requirements that are there, I mean, it doesn't really kind of leave your consumer with the warm and fuzzy feeling that financial organization kind of has your back or your best interests in mind. But to step in and say like, yeah, no, we don't just meet the bar. We go above the bar to ensure that our end customers are happy with what it is that we're doing here. But then that does, you know, it benefits the brand as a whole, especially when you're able to say, yeah, we don't just meet the bar, we exceed the bar on that end. So I guess kind of now shifting back to just the whole customer experience side of things here, I'd be curious to get kind of with a forward-looking scope. Perhaps maybe you could kind of share with us some of the experiences that might be on the horizon that American Express is looking forward to bringing to its customers.
Yeah, I'd love to share this. You know, the way I think about it is, you know, with Orchestra in place now, we built a lot of the foundations. And looking forward, we have, we want to continue to get ahead of customers in terms of what their expectations are. And in particular, there's probably two areas that I'm personally really excited about. And one of them is exactly that, is bringing value to customers even before they might anticipate or request it. And hopefully soon we'll all be traveling again, as an example. And so how do we think about, okay, customer just, you know, Anthony just traveled to London. How can we, provide in real time help and value to the customer, be it, help them find relevant merchants to dine, to stay. So that's an example of recommendations. It could also be a combination of that of offers. So the opportunities, given that we've laid a lot of the foundation, is to start now getting ahead of it. And that you can think of equivalent, you know, experiences when from a servicing perspective, that was a travel example, but that's part of what I'm really excited about, and we will look to continue to innovate on, again, with the same principles of supporting and enforcing that brand perception and having our customers' backs. So I think that's for me one of the exciting opportunities as we look forward. And then the second one is really kind of blending the what we have already and continuing to optimize it. One of the things that even I hadn't realized is that as you bring and break down all these silos and you develop all these levers that can create and fine-tune the customer experience, you now have almost a richness of options and choices to continue to evolve even what you have developed. So we're very excited about enforcing some discipline here and continuing to learn. Part of what we've put in place is, you know, channel independent learning. So we're really listening and learning from what our customers are telling us, whether directly or indirectly, and really, you know, getting into the minor edge cases where we're able to deliver and enhance the customer experience even more than we could in the past. So as an example, how do we think about the cross-channel experiences? How do we think about a journey that might start in one channel but continue in another channel, so that we, you know, we are able to delight and surprise the customer in terms of, you know, we know that you just did something online, or we sent you an email and you clicked through, but maybe you didn't finish on that. So that's part of those smaller moments, I would say, that we're really looking to elevate and enhance.
Yeah, I would certainly say when it comes to the customer experience, you know, the devil really is into the details for it. And it certainly is kind of the getting it correct, right? Because obviously it's not something that you want to annoy the customer with, of like, yes, it is obviously fantastic to have kind of those anticipatory kind of needs. So for the travel example that you gave, that hey, somebody goes on a trip and we notice that through the data that typically, hey, when they go on the trip, they like to eat out at XYZ style restaurant or whatever the case may be, and being able to tell them, hey, you know, obviously this is a new location for you. Here are some places that we recommend that, you know, some of our other customers have found to be fantastic as well too, for it. So I certainly think that all of that is extremely important. And so Anthony, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about data and the personalized customer experience. And I certainly hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Ryan, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.